The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 4th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the 6th hour. There came a woman from Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty forever. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had 5 husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where our people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all these things." Jesus said to her, "I, who speak to you, am he." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Please be seated. What are your complaints? What are your grumblings against God? If I were to ask you that one-on-one, you might sit there and tell me a few things, but for the most part, I'm sure most of us today would say, "Oh, Pastor, we don't really have any complaints or any grumblings. We really love God. We really love Him so much for everything that He's given us. We would never, ever complain or grumble about anything in life to God." And I would say that you are a much better Christian than I am. The truth is that we all have our complaints and our grumblings. We can't sit here today in church and ask ourselves whether or not we have really been all that good and everything that God has given us is perfectly fine and in good order. Many of us, I'm sure, our lives are topsy-turvy, upside down in all various ways. And this is nothing new, because all throughout Scripture, you find that people are confused, they're upset, and sometimes, yes, they complain and they grumble to God about the state of where they are. You heard it in Exodus today. He called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the quarreling of the people of Israel. And because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" The Hebrew word Massah means testing. The Hebrew word Meribah means quarreling, to fight. Can you imagine? Moses names the place Testing and Quarreling. Could you imagine, instead of Grass Valley or Nevada City, the names of our cities could be Grumbling and Complaining, California? Could you imagine picking out a name for the church like that? Instead of being known as Grace Lutheran Church, we could be known as Lack of Hope Lutheran Church, or No Faith Lutheran Church, or All Sinners Lutheran Church, or maybe even Disgruntled Lutherans Lutheran Church. If you do a brief survey of Exodus, you will see that the Israelites were really in bad shape. Under Pharaoh, they were oppressed and they were afflicted. Their male infants were taken away from them and murdered at the hands of Pharaoh. They cried out to God for delivery, and he heard their plea for help. They saw the plagues that the Lord had sent upon the Egyptians. They were passed over when all the firstborn of the land were struck down. God took them out of Egypt with a mighty hand. You remember Charlton Heston saying it well, "Let my people go." You know the story well. They saw Pharaoh and his army defeated in the Red Sea. They were rescued. They walked on dry land, and they rejoiced in their salvation. We like to hear those kind of accounts of God saving his people, but then we hear about them being in the wilderness. After 3 days in the wilderness, there was no water. They came to a place called Marah and found some water that was bitter. And they said, "Lord, we just love you so much and we praise you so much." No, they grumbled and complained to Moses. Moses prayed to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a log, and he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. Then they traveled to a place called Elim, where there were 12 springs of water. Then they left Elim and came to the wilderness of Sin. That's not the same kind of sin that you and I are doing. It's a name. But there again, they complained and grumbled to Moses. And they were hungry. And Moses prayed to the Lord, and God gave them manna and quail to eat. Then they moved to Rephidim. And again, they found no water, and they became thirsty. And Lord, they just love you so much. They complained and grumbled to Moses. As our Old Testament text says today, there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore, the people quarreled with Moses and said, "You give us water to drink." Moses prayed to God, and the Lord told him to strike the rock with his staff, and water gushed out. This place was called now Massah and Meribah, the place where they said, a very famous question, "Is the Lord among us or not?" I dare say it's a question that you probably have asked even in your own head as well. And there is your key to understanding all of this today. When things are going well, we rejoice. We rejoice and we say, "God has blessed us so richly. I love God so much." But as soon as things go south, as soon as they go difficult or sour, we try and we try and we try to believe, but we're quick to that same question, aren't we? Is the Lord among us or not? These texts from the Old Testament were written so that we would not lose hope or lack faith or complain and grumble like the Israelites did of old. They saw the wonder and the miracles of the Lord, but yet that lingering question was in their hearts and their minds. They wondered truly whether or not God was rescuing them or not. They set their eyes on themselves, and they took their eyes off of the heavenly prize. They soon forgot how terrible things were in Egypt with slavery and who Pharaoh truly was. They began to glorify those days. But they would tell Moses, "In Egypt we had huge pots of meat to eat and water to drink. We'd like to go back to slavery." Back under Pharaoh, things were much better. Things were much, much better. But God did not deliver them to fill their bellies or to make their lives simply better. He delivered them to fill their souls, to grant them the promised land that would lead to the promised Messiah, the Savior, Jesus Christ. And likewise for you and me here today, Jesus did not come so that we could have plenty to eat and drink here on earth. Lord knows we have plenty of that. The kingdom of heaven is not about eating and drinking. His kingdom is not an earthly kingdom, but a heavenly kingdom. We already have earthly kingdoms in which we receive food and drink, and we complain about those as it is. In our gospel text, we heard these words of Jesus to the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, the water in Jacob's well. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him, they will never be thirsty forever. The water that I will give him will become a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman says to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come to this well again for water." Speaking of water, here Jesus is offering her eternal life, and all she can think of is the fact that she would like to have this water here and now in this temporary life. It's so easy to get up into the cares and the worries of life as to what we are going to eat or drink or what we are going to wear. But yet, even then, we complain about these things. We are continuing to learn and to seek the kingdom first. We must continue. We must daily continue to learn and seek the kingdom. Always, always, always. For Jesus says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things will be added unto you." And so as you see trouble in your life, as you see another opportunity to grumble or complain about your neighbor, your husband, your wife, your kids, your grandkids, or whatever situation you are in, know that God will use those opportunities for good. He works all things for good to those who love him, as Paul says, and make these opportunities of trouble, of questioning, an opportunity to get on your knees and to pray, and to call out to God who promises to hear you in the day of trouble for the sake of Jesus, his Son, who has taken all of our quarreling, all of our grumblings, all of our sin, our guilt, our shame onto himself, and he has put them to death. Never once quarreling with you or with me, never once complaining about how much sin I commit or you commit. Never once even complaining or quarreling with his heavenly Father who sent him. The Holy Scriptures have been written down for us so that we can hear God's voice and be certain of his will. The Israelites got to see the glory of God in the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud and the rock rushing forth with water and the sea being parted. But you have something even more sure and confident: the pure word of God, which you would do well to listen to. The pure word of God, which tells you today, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have obtained also this access by faith into this grace in which we stand and we rejoice." How do you like that word? We rejoice, not complain, not quarrel. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The promise of the gospel is that we have peace even when there doesn't seem to be any peace to be found in our life. The Lord wishes for us to be certain that we don't have to question, like the Israelites who were brought out of Egypt, questioning them, "Are you amongst us or not?" We know that he is here with us in his Son. "Wherever two or three have gathered in my name, there I am." And his promise to you this day is not that your life is going to be easier or that there won't be any suffering or questions or sorrows. Instead, he assures us that we will have sufferings and trials, but that he will strengthen us and uphold us through all of these things, and he will even teach us to rejoice in them. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into your hearts through the Holy Spirit that you have received. And where? All in the water. All in the waters of baptism, where God was at work, calling you by name, giving you his Spirit, his life, his washing and regeneration by the power of the Holy Spirit, all so that you may now have his everlasting water welling up in you today, even in the midst of your sufferings. As Moses struck the water rock and the water gushed out, so too Jesus was struck. He was pierced for you, and water flowed out of his pierced heart and into that font, where you have now had your robe washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb. You have the eternal life. You have the eternal springs of living water. As Moses put the wood log in the bitter water to make the water sweet, the wood of the cross of Jesus has been placed into your baptismal font to make the bitterness of our lives sweet, that we could even look death in the face and say, you have no power or victory over me. For your Lord has said to you this day, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, says Jesus, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Take heart, I have overcome the world. Christ has overcome the world for you, so that you may know that you are in him, and he is in you, and even more so that you are conquerors of all things, even death. For Jesus is our beloved Emmanuel, which certainly means God with us. To Christ alone be all the glory now and forever. Amen. Freely you have received, freely let us bring our gifts to the Lord.